Fine, we're up to Siman Tofresh Yud Beis, we're up to Siv Ches. And we're going to be discussing some really interesting halachas. We're going to be discussing some more halachas with regards to the eating, drinking on Yom Kippur. And we should hopefully discussing, as we should be starting as well, is the Rechitza Yom Kippur, washing oneself on Yom Kippur, which is actually very similar in many ways to the halachas of the 9 days as well. So let's get started with Siv Ches. It's bottom line of page Ayin Vav. Kas, somebody who chews. Perish shekosas v'potza osan b'shinov. He's chewing pilpili, which means pepper. Oy zangvile, which is ginger. Now, the Mishnah Berurah explains that you're not actually chewing them, but you're chewing them and then you're going to swallow. Have you ever chewed pepper? Ginger, pepper. So if you chew them, there's a bit of juice coming out. We're talking about this juice actually coming out. Is that okay? Simon Tofre should base the last line of page and vote. So the halacha is over there that im hem yeveshim, if they are dry, then poto, tolechozil achilu. This is again, although there might be a little bit of juice, it's a tiny bit of something, but ultimately it's dry, it's a dry type of item. The loichozil achila, it's not appropriate for it, it's not an edible, it's not meant for edible, it's not really fit for consumption really, and therefore it's potu, yes, medrabon it's certainly also, but it's potu medreisa, v'im retu v'im chayev, but if they are very moist, if there's a lot of juice in there, a lot of liquid inside it, then it's going to be chayev, because actually what he's doing besides actually chewing is actually physically drinking, and therefore he's drinking something, and that it would actually be chayev for that. Siv Tes. Hashoy says, until now we've been discussing the halachas with regards to eating on Yom Kippur. Now we're going to be discussing Hashoy says the halachas with regards to drinking. How much you need to drink in order to be chayev, biblically? Hashoy says be Yom Kippur. Somebody drinks Yom Kippur, meloy lugmov, perish meloy piv chayev. What it literally means is somebody who fills the cheek. And we're going to see exactly what that means. So that then you're going to be chayev. If you have a cheeks full, not a mouth full, but just a cheek. Yeah, thank you very much. Exactly like that. Yeah, we're going to get exactly how much. Then, chayev. You're going to be chayev. No, chorus. Umesharin, and how do you measure this? Bechol od melefi mashu. Every person according to his mouth. How big it is. So it's individual. It's a bespoke share. Everybody is on how big his mouth is. Hagodol efi godloy. If it's a larger person, his meloy lugmov is going to be bigger. Ve'akotin, if it's a smaller person or a younger person, if it's going to be a smaller measure. David Damari says, "V'loy meloy lugmov mamash." It doesn't mean literally his cheeks full. Elo k'deish zalken letzad echot. It must be that he can push it to one side. Befiv ve'iroy kemloy lugmov. If he pushes it on one side, it's going to be visible, but not both sides. Please excuse me. I'm going to show. It means. Yeah, that is obviously not going to be on the audio, but it's just one side, right? It's going to be just one side as opposed to both sides full. One side filled with liquid. It's pushed to one side, befiv in his mouth, and he will be seen as if his cheeks filled. It's less than a reviz with a general person. And then he says an interesting halacha that is good for us to know as well. And any liquid add up. So any mashkim, that means that if you have a bit of water, and then after it's a bit of liqueur, and after it's a bit of coke, they're going to add up. It doesn't have to be the same liquid. It actually adds up. Shosamat says the Rama. Shosamashkin she'en runishti. If somebody drinks a liquid which is not really fit for consumption, it's not a nice drink, kugon, such as tzir or murios. These are types of juice that are coming out from fish. If you have fish, some liquid comes out from that. What is the real word for that? Fish oil? Yeah, is that what it is? Is that very liquidy? Yeah, is it? Oily? Yeah, oily? Yeah, but is it quite, it must be quite, if it's too solid, it's going to be, we're talking about something which must be quite oily. Then that is actually considered, that's not considered a drinkable item at all. V'choymetzchai, vinegar, is definitely much too strong. Potu, aval, is potu, it's potu, only it's medrabanon still. Still in the Rabbana, but Medireise, from a biblical point of view, you're not actually chayev by drinking those non-drinkable items. But if you had vinegar and you diluted it, then it's actually chayiv, because that's a drinkable. Now, wouldn't particularly like diluted vinegar, but it's still something which, to say, it's drinkable, and therefore a person would be chayiv. Let us see a couple of Mishnah Berurot over here. Sivkotten, Chov Gimel, is Mishnah Berurot second line. He says the following, Meloi Lugmov. Where does the kshir of Meloi Lugmov come from? Mishnah Berurot explains, the Kimlu Lerabonon, it was, the Chachomim were understanding, they were sure, the Bashir said that with this measure, Misyashev Daitu Shel Odom, Ve'ozal Memenu Ha'inui. Again, we discussed that previously, that when is a person chai with regards to Yom Kippur? It's not a kezais, it's not an olive shear, it's not an egg shear, it's different shearim altogether. Both with regards to eating and with regards to drinking. It's not the regular type of measurements. Why is it so? The answer is because when it comes to Yom Kippur, the obligation is that you must be afflicted. Anything that you're eating beyond that, once you feel a little bit satisfied, you've done something, you know, you're a bit better off than before, then it's considered that's against the Torah. The Torah says inui, you have to be afflicted, you have to be uncomfortable, and once you've done something, you're not uncomfortable anymore. You feel trying to do it better, you're chayev. Now, undoubtedly, if you have a grain of rice, it's nothing. So you wouldn't be chayef. I mean, it's true that chatzis shor semen atoyer, but you're not chayef. And similarly with the drinks as well, the shear of meloi lugma of a cheekful, if you drink less than that, you're not really, it's not going to help you in any way, right? If you have a tiny bit of drink, I sometimes feel, imagine on a really hot day, and you drink one, and you're really thirsty, and you've been not drinking enough, and you have a tiny bit of drink, like literally one sip. I always have a feeling it's actually going to make you more thirsty. Yeah, am I the only one thinking like that? No, it makes you probably more thirsty. It definitely doesn't help you. You know what I mean? When you drink a bit and it doesn't really, you know what I mean? Pardon?
Psychologically, you want to drink more.
You want to drink more. It probably is. But the point of it is that you're still afflicted as long as you haven't got a sheer of meloi lugmav. If you haven't got a meloi lugmav, a cheeks full, then it makes a lot of sense that it's individual. It depends on a person's size and height and meloi lugmav is individual. So if you've drank less than that, you're not chayev. It's true, chatzis shor semen atoyer, but you're not chayev. And anything above that, you're chayev. That's where the sheer of meloi lugmav comes from. Seif Chav. Yeah, not here. Now, the interesting question is, what about, I'm going to use some examples, and you're going to tell me, are these considered liquid? How much is the share of liquid to be chayev? Meloi lugmav, a cheeks full. What was the share of eating? What was it? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Kosev es agaso. Now, we know that it's very easy for us if we think, picture ourselves a piece of meat. We know that's for sure. Solid, that's for sure. You know, kosev es drinks. You know, think about water. Think about juices. You know, that's drinks. But I'm going to give you now cases that they are really, and I wonder how you're going to define that. Is that something that is considered a liquid, or is that something that's considered a solid? And it makes a big difference. Halachically, we need to know, because if we want to know the measure, how much a person is chayef, you need to know, you need to be able to define, is it a liquid, is it a solid? So what would you think about a type of yogurt? Is that considered food, or is that considered drink? And difference will be, do you need a koseves agas, or do you need meloi lugmav? It's a very different amount, very different amount. Drink? Drink? Food?
If it flows, drink.
Oh, you're saying already a get over. You're saying a clear difference. If it flows, it's going to be considered a liquid. Everybody agrees to that. It's called a liquid.
Yeah, but you're taking yogurt because you're hungry, not because you're thirsty.
Oh, you're saying that it gives you... Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. You disagree?
Why are you taking yogurt out?
That's really interesting. You're saying you're having yogurt because you're hungry, not because you're thirsty. You disagree? When you're thirsty, you may have yogurt?
Yeah?
You feel to hydrate?
Yeah?
What about an ice cream, Rabbi Isai? What is that? A liquid or a solid?
Liquid?
It's like ice? Liquid? Solid?
Solid?
Liquid?
It becomes a liquid pretty quickly.
So it becomes a liquid, so why? That's interesting. The poskim take the following approach, and it makes a real big nafkamin al halacha. The poskim say that if it's something, Rabbi Yashiv says, if it's something you're going to eat with a spoon, then it would be considered something which is considered a solid. And psychologically what it means, I think it's very similar to what you are saying. If it's something that you're gonna eat something because you're hungry, then it must be a food. If you're gonna have that because you're hungry, it's because it's, you know, if it's for hunger, then you're gonna have you're gonna eat it. It's considered a food, and therefore all these items that we mentioned now, they're probably gonna be considered. According to most poskim, there's cholkim on both cases, but many poskim are gonna say they're both considered foods and not drinks. Foods and not drinks. Yeah. Another very interesting shaila that was asked, Reb Shlomo Zalman discussed it, is the following shaila. We discussed that, how do we define a person's Meloi Lugmov? How do we define it? It's individual according to each person, and it's the cheek, right? Now let me ask you a question. What about somebody who's got dentures? Beautiful shaila. Reb Shlomo Zalman discussed that. Imagine somebody's got false teeth, dentures, and his teeth are out years ago, and he's got dentures. Now, how are you going to measure his Meloi Lugmov? Because the space of the teeth filled quite an area. So, if you consider, is he going to have with the dentures or without the dentures? I'm not talking about implants, because that's nothing to talk about. If it's implants and they're properly fixed, then, you know, you're going to take that into consideration. But dentures that you can physically take out and in and out, if you want to measure that person, it could be really halacha nice. Imagine an old gentleman that needs to drink a little bit on Yom Kippur. And you want to have the minimum shit he's allowed to drink. But you don't want to, so you need to know how much is Meloi Lugmov. You don't want to give him Meloi Lugmov. You want to shur him every hour, so you want to give him, he's allowed to drink a little bit. And you want to give him Meloi Lugmov, but you want to just get, so how are you going to measure that Meloi Lugmov? With his dentures or without his dentures? What do you think, Rabbi Isai? With the dentures, why is that? That's the normal way you'd eat. Yeah? On the person, so he's now a person without
teeth.
Yeah. So it's actually become a part of his body. Yeah. You machmir, therefore assuming. Right. Reb Shlomo Zalman says an interesting svara. Reb Shlomo Zalman, he says two things really. The first point Reb Shlomo Zalman points out is that really, where does the shear of Meloi Lugmov come from? Why are we saying that shear? It comes because, how do you define Meloi Lugmov before? Where does the shear of Meloi Lugmov come from? Why are we saying that shear? Because anything underneath that, it's, you're wasting your time, and it's not helping you at all. And before that, you feel a little bit, to a certain extent, satisfied. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says, it's not really likely that a person's, just because he's losing his teeth, suddenly now he needs to drink more to be equally satisfied. It doesn't really make sense, says Reb Shlomo Zalman. The day before he lost his teeth, he needed that volume, including the teeth in his mouth. Right? So you take, that's the shear. Now they lost his teeth, you can't say that suddenly now he needs to drink more. That's how much you need to drink in order to be satisfied. Doesn't really make sense, says Reb Shlomo Zalman. Consequently, he says that you just take, you can put the dentures in, and that's going to be the right shear. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that. He also says that truthfully, he said that anyway there were teeth there before. So he said that you can't just suddenly take, you know, a different shear. There was teeth there before, so that's probably the real shear. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. It's an interesting shayla. Okay. Continues Seif Yud. Shasa Me'at. Seif Yud, Shasa Me'at. He drank a little bit. V'chazav Shasa, and he drank a little bit more again. Im yesh metchila shtir rishon, atzav shtir achon, kidei shtir as revi'is. If from the first time he drank until the second time he drank, he had the kidei shtiyas revi'is. It took him. From the first drink until the second time he drank, there's a kidei shtiyas revi'is. The time lap of kidei shtiyas revi'is, the drinking, how much it would take to drink a revi'is. Then metstafin lekashir. Then he would add up. Similarly to the kidei achilas pras, there were 3 to 9 minutes. So over here, the same applies. Over here, you need to have a kidei shtiyas revi'is. Then if you drink in such a short time, it's considered drinking, one drinking, and they add up. Vim lav, and metstafin, if you waited longer than that amount, they don't add up, and it's considered two drinkings. That we pasken that you need to have kidei chilas pras between the two drinkings. You drink once, you need to wait 3 to 9 minutes for the next week. Generally, we pass in 9 minutes. So if you drink a little bit, you can wait. Anything within the 9 minutes is going to be considered the same drinking, and you have to make sure not to get to the whole measure, to the whole amount. You need to wait only after 9 minutes. You can carry on.
Why are we using the measurement time of?
Good question.
And,
good question. Kedeh chilas
pras. Why are we using the time for a malukma?
Yeah, because I'll explain why. Because we are trying to define what drink. How long it's still considered one drinking. It's definitely going to be taking longer. There's no doubt about it. To drink one meloy lugmov takes a certain amount of time, but it makes sense that it's still adding up. You still feel it's still considered one action of drinking, because it's a normal thing to drink in a few, not just to gulp it all down, but to have a little bit of a break in between. That's why. See, and continue, and finish it off. The Ramah, Mutaliga, that's a very interesting Shaila. And it's something which is really noiga, unfortunately, nowadays. Mutaliga by Yom Kippur, Bacholin, a person is allowed to touch foods on Yom Kippur. Umashkin and drinks, Velitin lektanim to give it to children. Food is not mukta on Yom Kippur. Food is not mukta. Veloy chashinon, and we're not concerned, Shayoichal or Yishtemiga, we're not concerned if a person is going to touch fiddle around with food and drinks, we're not concerned. Nobody's going to end up drinking and eating just because it's Yom Kippur. The question that the Mishnah Berurah addresses is, we find elsewhere that halacha is that food does become, that you can't touch it. Now, of course, it's on Pesach. On Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah points out that you're not allowed to touch chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Lamed Beis. V'loi chashinu, v'loi domi lechametz bePesach. She'osu liga boi, mishum shema yovo leochloi. On Pesach, you are not allowed to touch bread. Why? Because it's muktzah. There's no value for you. You can't allow to do anything with that bread, so consequently it becomes muktzah. You can't touch it, you can't eat it, so therefore you can't touch it. So why is that different over here? Why am I allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur, whereas I'm not allowed to touch chometz on Pesach? That's the Mishnah Berurah's question. Any suggestions? Oh, very good. And I want to speak about this. This is a really good point. I want to speak about this. Yeah? What's that? And therefore,
whereas you can't even use it as a doorstop, bad bread
now. As opposed to, right, as opposed to.
Whereas on Yom Kippur, it's just not to eat it.
Good, very good. Okay, very good. I want to go back to your point, but let's see what Mishnah Berurah said, because what you're saying is really not. Let's see what Mishnah Berurah answers. He brings two answers. So he says, Mishom Sheba Pesach Uchel Shah Dvorim. On Pesach, he's eating other things. We're eating plenty of foods on Pesach. We eat more than the rest of the year, don't we? So we eat plenty of other things. Lekach, therefore, chay shinon, we are concerned. Sheyoichal gamezeh. A person starts eating, there is no stop. You know, have you ever seen that? Kiddush, person starts eating, it's hard to stop. So therefore, he says, if you allow him to eat, therefore, we're making sure that don't touch that chometz, because if you're allowed to touch chometz, you're going to end up eating it. But however, on Yom Kippur, the body will be called v'achil v'shtia, but it's anyway not eating anything. So there's no concern, you're not eating anything on Yom Kippur. You're not eating anything on Yom Kippur anyway. Therefore, we're not concerned, you're not going to end up eating it anyway. Another reason, very fascinating answer, very interesting, that on Yom Kippur, you don't have to worry about ending up eating the food, because it's a day of judgment. People are nervous in Yom Kippur, people feel the tension in Yom Kippur, people feel the judgment of Yom Kippur, and therefore, you don't have to worry about, just because you're going to touch food, nobody's going to start eating it. You feel Yom Kippur dig, as we say. You know, you feel nobody's going to end up eating. Therefore, the Yom Adin, the Emas Yom Adin, the fear of the Yom Adin is going to ensure that you're not going to start eating it. That doesn't apply on Pesach. On Pesach, people can easily make a mistake. Now, the question I want to ask you is the following. And Rav Eliashiv was asked, and unfortunately, situation I had as well. Imagine an army base. Imagine an army base on Yom Kippur. What's the reason over here? We're saying the reason why the Ramah teaches us that the reason why food is not mukta is why Ramah says because of children, because you could easily give it. You know, there's children around, and children need to eat, so therefore it doesn't become there's a usage for the food. And therefore, what happens if you've got army base? There's no children there at all. You won't find one child in an army base. Is food muktzah in an army base, yes or no? And again, I'm basing my question on the Ramah that says that the reason why you are, the reason why Chachamim never made muktzah, it's not muktzah, food is not muktzah on Yom Kippur, is because there's always children around. You need to feed children. You can't have something muktzah if you need to feed children. But what in army base? There's no children there. Does it become muktzah or not? Interesting question. Not muktzah, why? Emergency. Wow. That's such an interesting point. Pardon? Okay, let me rephrase the question. We're talking about soldiers who are fasting, okay? Because that was the question asked by Eliashiv. I'm talking about an army base that is fasting. Okay, imagine a certain army base that just all of them are fasting. Okay, I should have said it. Yeah, you're right. Oh, very good. So someone is ill. Someone is ill. What happens if someone is ill? Very, very good. Okay, is that what you want to say as well?
No, I'm saying maybe.
So you need to prepare before? Very interesting question. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I hear. So maybe because of that, you would have to, yeah. The emes is, Rav Eliashiv actually asks it. He said it should become muktzah in a place where there is no children at all. Can you think of another case besides an army base? Where there's no children at all, it actually would become muktzah. But Rav Eliashiv's grandson asks exactly your question. So Rav Eliashiv says it becomes muktzah. It becomes muktzah. There's no children. Food becomes muktzah. It becomes muktzah. But the question is, the moment that's exactly your question. What happens if what happens if somebody's not well there? I mean, surely the reason why it's muktzah, we're saying that because there's no children, so nobody needs the food because they're all, there's no children around. But the question is, surely, as you're pointing out, if somebody's not well, anyway, he'll need to eat. So because there's a possibility of somebody not being well, surely that itself should make it not muktzah anymore. It shouldn't be muktzah because maybe somebody's not going to be well. So that, or certainly if somebody's taken out well, it shouldn't be muktzah. So that's an interesting question. Not sure about that. But yeah, that's the halacha. Okay. Okay, that leads us to Simon Tov Reish Yud Gimel. We just have a little bit of a start of Simon Tov Reish Yud Gimel. Okay, just as a short introduction with regards to Yisrael Chitza B'Yom Kippur. Short introduction. We know that on Yom Kippur there's five inuyim. So there's five things that a person needs to afflict himself with. What are they? Achile v'shtia, you're not allowed to eat and drink. That's considered one. Then the other one is Rechitza, you're not allowed to wash yourself. And that's the one we're going to be discussing over here. And then there is Ne'ilas, a sandal, leather shoes. And then there's Tashmish HaMitzah as well. Now, let me address, though, for now, the Yisrael Chitza. And there's one Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah doesn't address it over here, but Mishnah Berurah does ask as to whether they're Deraisa or not. It's Machlok Yisrael, and he says that all the Inuyim, if a person washes himself or has sandals or has leather shoes, it actually would be over on a Deraisa. So we have to keep that in mind. It's actually, according to Mishnah Berurah, it's actually all Deraisas. Okay, it's not according to all the opinions, but Mishnah Berurah does pass in his Deraisa. Okay. Also, lichoitz b'yom kippurim, b'yom bechamin, b'yom betzoinon. A person is not allowed to wash himself on Yom Kippur, b'yom bechamin, whether it's hot water, b'yom betzoinon, whether it's cold water. Again, these halachas are very, very similar to the ones of the 9 days. V'afrid lehoishit etzboi b'mayim osu. If you're just doing it for pleasure, you're not allowed to take a finger and put it in the, even a finger, one little finger to put in the water, just, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to clean yourself. However, if your hands were, or your raglov, or your feet were, or your gufoy, or your other parts of your body, betet, they were muddy. So you go on foot, you go totally muddy. Oy betsoya, or with human waste, you go totally dirty. Or you should not have dam, or you go nosebleed. Muta lerochtam, you are allowed to wash yourself of that mud, of that blood. Shaloi osru elorchitza shel tainuk. This is a crucial ki yesoit. When did the Torah say you're not allowed to wash yourself? That is rechitza shel tanuk. Washing for pleasure. Anything which is not for pleasure is permitted. So therefore, if you're washing yourself just to get rid of the dirt, that's not considered rechitza shel tanuk, and that's permitted. What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisrael? Rechitza shel tanuk, so therefore to clean off the mud, blood, all that, that's okay. Right. So we are familiar, just to put that as a footnote, that's really why the basis to be matir washing ourselves during the 9 days is actually based on the same rule. It's based on if a person is really, really sweaty and he's really, really dirty and he really feels that he can't, then we consider the sweat as well, like the mud and like the blood. It's no different. You're just not washing yourself for pleasure. You're washing yourself for ridding yourself, getting rid of the removing the dirt, and that's why that would be permitted. In fact, so much so that nobody actually does that. But the halach is actually even on Tisha B'Av, you'd be allowed to do that, like on Yom Kippur. No different than Yom Kippur, you'd be allowed to. Nobody recommends you to do that, but really, halachically, according to our understanding, we actually even permitted that. Now, I do want to point out that there's a big difference between just getting rid of dirt and having these half an hour showers in boiling hot, you know, when you just can't get out of the shower, you know, you just can't get out of there, and you stay there for on and in a boiling hot, and you're going through bottles and bottles of, do you know, so that I think we'll all agree that if you go that far, I think according to all the opinions, that's not going to be considered rechitza of removing the dirt. I think there comes to a point that we all agree that would be considered rechitza shel tanuk. They're just doing it for the pleasure of it. Relaxing is called tanuk, and that would be awesome. So I think that what's important to keep in mind is whether it's on Yom Kippur that we're discussing now, or the halachas of the 9 days. The halachas we should keep in mind that rechitza shel tanuk is definitely also, and we have to make sure to keep that in the right measure. Okay, we'll carry on with those halachas mishum tomorrow, see you, please.